You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, you won't find this is sport, Donald. This is sport, but you won't find this interesting. But if you are a golfer, you might find it interesting. I find it intriguing. There's a law came in when COVID was up and about this time last year when it was just getting its eye in, and they stopped you, if you played golf, from raking the bunkers because they didn't want you to touch the rakes. They didn't want different people's hands touching the rakes. So that is so they don't rake bunkers anymore. You can actually place your ball in a bunker now, as long as it's within a hand span of where it was. So ball doesn't land in someone's footprint because it's not raked, so you can move it. Tell me this. Why, now that the COVID scare's over, you're not allowed to take the flag out of the hole? So usually you'd take the flag out of the hole so you could have a putt. Now you still have to putt with the flag in the hole. Why can't – who says – what law says that you can't take the flag out of the hole? Why is that still a law?
What are you talking about, a law of golf or a law of the land?
A law of the land. This would be the health advisors and the Premier's department would say you can't touch the flag and take it out of the hole. Why is that still in force? I went to take it out and someone said, oh, you can't do that. I said, who said I can't do that? They said, oh, it's a rule. It's a local rule. I said, whose local rule? Why can't you take the flag out of a golf hole to have a putt? What is the basis of that?
We're under state of emergency.
That's not an emergency.
We're under state of emergency. No, and when you're under a state of emergency,
the
democratic process goes out the door, so you can't question what they say.
Well, I am questioning it.
Well, you can't because we're under state of emergency.
So you're saying touching a golf flag
is
different to touching a petrol pump at a service station, touching trolleys in a supermarket, touching doors, touching anything. Why is it peculiar to golf that you can't take the flag out of the hole to putt? There is no reason for it.
There's a lot of inconsistencies out there,
Johnny. So why do we put up with them? Why?
Because we're under state of emergency.
We're not under state of emergency. We're not.
Victoria is under a state of emergency until November this year.
So what is the emergency? I'll ask again. What is the emergency?
It didn't get much publicity, but we are under a state.
All right. So what is the emergency about not being able to touch a flag to take it out of the hole as opposed to touching every single other thing in the community? What is the difference? Why? And why don't golfers just take the flag out if they want to? Whose law is that? It's no one's law. It's bullshit. Is it not?
If it's your case, you run with it.
Well, I'm bringing it up. Have you got anything about sport?
Well, I was watching and I just pondered on the fact, and this is to go with regard to football, and you might bring in a little bit of historical thing here too. I'm not being critical, but it's just an observation. I watched on YouTube Hawthorn playing Footscray. I call it Footscray. They changed their name to Western Bulldogs. It was the twos or the VFL team or the seconds playing a curtain raiser or whatever. I don't know what it was, out at Western Oval. And the number one draft choice, Jamara Ugle-Hagan, was playing for Footscray. Now, he's a terrific shape. Just looking at him, terrific shape of an athlete. He's 194 centimetres. I think he's about 18, 19. Now, he was the number one draft choice. He's quick. He can certainly jump. I said he's 194. He's still got to put on some weight.
What's 194? 6 foot eight. I don't know.
You were 190.
No, I was 189, wasn't I?
Were you?
Well, I think 190. What?
I was 190, 191. Anyway, 6'3". The first occasion he went for the ball, which was up on centre wing. He was, he was definitely playing in the forward line, on the full forward line, but he was up the ground on this occasion on centre wing. First time he went for the ball, he ran to the pack to get the ball. He should have run through the ball, but he stopped, hesitated and tried to scoop the ball back in. In other words, he didn't want to put his body in. Now, you've got to cut him some slack and say, well, mate, you know, they didn't play the under-18 competition last year. Maybe that fault could have been corrected by his coaches. But it also highlighted to me the great divide that does exist between the under-18 competition and senior football. If the number one draft choice cannot make a game in the senior team, there is a big divide in the development of players. Then I started to think of players that I played with, and you may, this is a question without notice to you, but you've got to put your cap on and
I'm
think.
I'm good at those.
Okay. I thought of how good were players such as Alan Martello, who came down to Hawthorn as a 17-year-old and held down the centre-half forward position, which was in that stage of the game the hardest position to play. He held that down as a 17-year-old. John Hendry came straight out of Scotch College. The following year he in the seniors and did well. We had schoolboys in Peter Knights playing, Leon Rice. That's in my time at Hawthorn.
Any other great talents that and came, I'm just, that I'm came just from saying, any other club besides Hawthorn?
Well, that's, then I'm going to ask you, what good schoolboy...
Carl Dittrich?
Well, exactly right. He was still at school when he made his debut. What about at Geelong?
And what a debut.
Yes, well, you were... No, you'd left school when you made your debut, didn't you?
Left school?
Yes.
I had left school, yes.
Okay, so what schoolboy footballers did you play with in your time at Geelong?
Jeff Ainsworth.
Still at school? Or no, hang on, university.
At school? No one was at school.
Yeah, well, we did have a couple.
We weren't allowed to. We weren't allowed to leave the school to play unless you got special permission.
Okay, but there's other schools. There's other schools that play for Geelong. It's just not college.
Yeah, that's correct.
Or grammar play for Geelong. There's got to be other schoolboys playing.
No schoolboys that I played with, I don't think, were playing for Geelong while
they
were
at school. There is now a big gap, I believe, between the under-18 competition, and maybe they should be looking at the under-18 competition and make it now under-19, which would bring it back in line with the way it was before the AFL started up this TAC Cup or this under-18 competition, because boys mature at different rates and is a better is a better indication when they're 18 as to whether they're going to go on. So why don't they make the competition under-19?
I can't tell you that. Well, I'm
so you've got no thoughts, have you?
I can't engage. I have done. What was the boy's name?
Don't worry about it, Johnny. Talking about the whole. I'm only using him as an example.
What was his
name?
Number
one draft choice. You could say it with Jack Watts as well.
What was his name? Please, the number one.
Jamara. Yeah. Ugel Hagen.
Right, so is he, what is he, what nationality is he?
Doesn't matter.
No, it does, because if you're not brought up with the game, if you are...
He was brought up with the game.
So he's an Australian, is he?
Yeah, everybody's Australian.
What is he?
He wouldn't be. Half Indigenous, half...
That's got nothing to do with it.
Excuse me, it has. Immigrant. If you've come from another country, you've come from another country and you're not brought up with the game,
John,
it might
the
take
boy
your...
is, I don't care where you come from or whatever else. He has got ability. You can see it. He's 194. He's about 18 years old, I think.
It does
Maybe
matter
19.
Where you come from, Donald. No. If you've come from another country and you haven't grown up with Australian rules football and you're thrust into
Why would you be taken as a number one draft choice?
Because you're thrust into the competition because you're a great athlete. You might need some years on you to experience what the game's about. That's all I'm saying. Of course it matters where you come from. If you've just arrived here and you've taken up Australian rules football because you're a very good athlete, it might take you a while to work out the technical aspects required to play the game. That's why, of course, it matters. Why would that be so difficult? Speaking of that,
It's not the discussion point. But anyway, keep going.
Well, that's why I asked where he came from. That's all. You said it had nothing to do with it. I'm saying it has everything to do with it.
He's chosen as the number one draft choice.
But you said he wasn't.
What is he chosen on potential? Is he chosen to go straight into the team?
Maybe. You said that he didn't go at the
ball. He was chosen on potential. He was definitely not expected to go straight into the team.
And maybe the potential will manifest itself when he gets some experience playing the game that he wasn't brought up with. If he came from another country or he wasn't into it, it's like Carmichael Hunt and Israel Folau, who were recruited by the AFL for whatever reason.
We know the reason. Yeah,
we do know the reason. So
what was the reason?
The reason was to give the code, Australian Rules Football, a higher profile in the
rugby states.
Rugby states. Absolutely. But with new teams. One was with Gold Coast, yes. And the other was with Greater Western Sydney.
Absolutely correct, Donald.
They were paid, I think, $1 million.
It was a cynical exercise to try. Exactly. So those boys... they might have potential, and if they are not experienced...
No, John, it's a different argument altogether.
It's exactly the same argument. If those boys weren't experienced with the game, not because they came from another country, but because they came from another code, they might need some years to work out the technicalities of playing the game. That's why I said, where did the boy come from? Which is absolutely paramount to the discussion.
While we're on just the topic of football, did you see the statue to Peter Hudson that was unveiled at New Norfolk last week?
I did see it, yes.
Is there any similarities between the statue and Peter Hudson? Or did the artist take some artistic license?
I didn't see it.
Well, I saw it. I didn't look at it from that aspect. I just looked at it. It looked like Peter Hudson, didn't it? The Rockets,
I'm just asking, did you think that there was some artistic license taken?
Well, the Rocket is getting it up on the phone now, and I'm going to have a second opinion. I just didn't take
quite... Or a second look.
I'm giving it a second opinion. I gave my opinion just a minute ago. I said I thought it looked like him, but I'll have a second opinion when the Rocket gets it up on the Google machine. Now, here's an interesting thing I thought... particularly what we've been through, Donald. A former AFL manager of footballers, Peter Blucher. He was taped secretly by...
Looks more like me, Don.
No, don't show it to Don. What's that?
That's Peter Hudson.
No, it looks nothing like him. Is that Peter Hudson? That's not Peter Hudson.
I'm asking the question.
Well, where's his image? Oh, I just saw him. I just saw the biggest shot of him kicking or his action. I didn't look at his head. He's taken that off. He's one of his grandkids. That's nothing. That doesn't look like Peter Hudson at all. I just looked at the action. His action looked as though it was a Peter Hudson action. I remember Peter Hudson's actions, but his head looks nothing like him. Peter Blucher. Was secretly taped by Joel Wilkinson, secretly taped, which I thought was okay as long as you don't make it public, but it's been made public.
Could I ask, was Peter Blucher Joel Wilkinson's manager?
Yes.
Okay. No, not at that time.
Oh, wasn't he?
Not at that time.
I see. Oh, thank you. And Joel Wilkinson said that Peter Blucher told him that a lot of the AFL clubs thought he was grandstanding, these are his words, about the incidents of racism in the competition. Have I got this right, Rocket?
Yep.
Yep. Which seems extraordinary that an AFL representative would say that, an AFL manager would say that to someone, but it might have been fair comment. Maybe a lot of the clubs shied away from Joel Wilkinson because he thought... he was grandstanding about racism. So you put it Joel was, I think, ostracised a little, and then in fact He was racially taunted, I think, in a game, and then two boys called Mr. Sexton and Mr. Osborne in a humorous aside of parody and satire, dressed up as blackface, pretending one of them was he, which just this is in 2013, and you look at that and you see that the ad. This is why Joel Wilkinson said that the AFL's AFL's position on racism was a disgrace. So he probably has a vested interest in saying that. Because Mr. Blucher gave an opinion about what he said was why Joel couldn't get some traction at other clubs because they thought he was grandstanding about racism. Look at that with what we went on with us. We gave an opinion. We didn't give an opinion. We discussed whether Nicky Winmar, who lifted his jumper up 20 years ago at Collingwood, we gave neither a definitive answer or a definitive a conclusion as to why he did that. We were just discussing why Nicky Winmar lifted his jumper, and it was a general opinion that people came away from the ground not sure of why he did that. We did nothing more than discuss that, and yet ended up in court for vilifying Nicky Winmar, which we accepted. We accepted the decision that Nicky Winmar, when you have a look at that, isn't it extraordinary how the people who accuse you of doing something are guilty of it themselves? This is the AFL rounding us up indirectly along with the lawyers about having a very simple discussion, which we gave no conclusion or no opinion about. It was just a general acceptance that most people thought it was one thing rather than the other, and yet we ended up in court and having to pay $100,000 for it. And yet here's the AFL, who have been accused by Wilkinson and accused by several others of not taking the thing seriously, of saying they're grandstanding. Isn't it amazing that they might be just deflecting their own inadequacies and own incompetence and own biases by honing in on something like us, who had a very civil discussion? It is extraordinary. And the more you pay attention to it, the more you see why these people get involved in it. And that, if they'd like to dispute that, I'd love someone to come on here and actually say just what it is they're on about. Because this is just going on and on. And so much so that we're taking action. I notice none of those boys keep having their photo put in the paper every other week about having their face black, except I do. Did it 20 years ago. So apologise. They apologise. Don't know why everyone else can apologise, but I can't.
Didn't one of the boys at Brisbane, there was an Indigenous player, and didn't he paint himself white, and he got his
yes.
They were living together, or one they painted did.
Yep.
Yeah, they tried to impersonate
they
one
tried.
Another.
So one black man painted his face white and one white man painted his face black.
Yeah.
So that in the name of satire or humour, yeah, or intent, which is all I ever did. So isn't it extraordinary how they hone in on the most ridiculous and
passive... You don't mock... It's a understandable mistake, but it's still a mistake.
Yes.
Right? What I'm trying to say is a black person painting themselves as white hasn't got the same impact as the other way around, because you don't ridicule someone for being white. That's never been a part of our history. So what I'm saying is, yes, I understand your point that because they both did it, they lived together, they were young. It's really important, I think, to make the point they would have been about 20 years old or less. And so it's an understandable mistake. They thought they were doing it, but you don't paint yourself black because that is associated with ridicule.
Rod, please, man. The reason the black man painted himself white is because the white man painted himself black.
No, so what I'm saying is it's an understandable mistake, but you just don't do it anymore.
You don't do it. Of course you don't do it anymore. But what's that got to do with it? I'm just telling you, I'm just saying to you that there's so many examples of it, but the AFL choose to either ignore it or allow comments about saying that you might be grandstanding, and don't sanction people who say that, even though they're taped recorded secretly, which I thought was probably illegal. And yet could worry about a discussion that we had here on this forum, which to do with Mike Sheehan and you and me, about what the perception was at a game, which we gave no conclusion of, and we didn't give any opinion about whether it be right or wrong. We were just discussing it because Nicky Windmar's name came up about him being a spokesman for Black Lives Matter. And how... And if you don't pay attention to it, which I suddenly have started to pay attention, how they blame you for doing exactly the same thing, only about 20-fold, they're just trying to deflect attention from their, the way they operate. And it is extraordinary. And this is an ongoing thing. And we were then slandered, absolutely slandered, and by some second-rate party saying that we sit here...
Why do you think the AFL got involved?
Because they're trying to deflect attention from their own inadequacies in this matter, trying to actually push some focus onto us, who had nothing more than a very passive discussion.
Could I pose a question?
Yes.
The statue of Nicky Windmar lifting his Guernsey,
yes,
at Perth outside the football stadium.
Yes.
Who commissioned it?
I don't know. The AFL, I presume. Who did?
I'm just posing the question, asking.
Well, I don't know, but I presume if the AFL commissioned it, it would look a bit silly if the general perception was, as our discussion was just about a discussion, if the general perception was that it wasn't actually about skin colour, which we accepted it was because Nicky Windmar said it was, but if that general opinion was the fact that it was about his fitness or something, it'd look bloody stupid putting a statue up there if it was irrelevant.
No, I don't... Just I understand. Go. Yeah, I don't think so. Because as we made the point at the time, we being a royal we, because I wasn't part of it.
Yes.
Nobody questioned what Nicky said. Like everyone said, the only person who knows what he meant was Nicky, and no one disputed that. The conversation was about what we thought it meant at the time, right? So that's right. That doesn't change what happens with that statue.
But I'm just saying, if the
your first assertion is the right one.
All my assertions have been correct. No, Rocket. So the only reason I brought up the AFL is that they were on the phone in the opposition council's office, were they not? While we were mediating.
Yep.
And they were getting advice. The council or the AFL were giving advice about what should happen. And all I'm saying is that they would have a vested interest in making sure that that opinion wasn't generally accepted because they've put a statue up in Perth about that very matter, about racism, which is fine. But that's why they'd be getting involved, because they'd look pretty stupid if the general opinion was...
That's how much power this podcast has got. Yeah, they're going, shit. Someone's going to ruin the statue that's already been erected.
Well, Rocket. You say how much power this podcast got. How come we got into trouble over it?
I don't know.
How come this was even...
Because Nicky took offence. That's why you got into trouble over it.
Well, how did he know that we said it?
Because somebody emailed the AFL.
Why? Because they thought, here's an opportunity to deflect some attention from what is the most innocent conversation. And I've got a feeling they asked us to remove it off our podcast so people couldn't access it and see just how innocent it was. You are quite correct. We accepted what the person who took exception to it was, Windmar. We accepted it, and as a consequence, we are not disputing that. But what we're saying, if you read between the lines, have a look at what's going on. When you consider everything else that's gone on with Collingwood, Joel Wilkinson, go on, Heretia.
Lumumba.
Have a look at all the other deflections and you hone in on us sitting here having a discussion about what might have been and what might not have been, but we gave no conclusions or no assumptions. It's got nothing to do with sport. Just hypocrisy.
But it's got nothing to do That's with sport. Do what with I'm going to say here, that has what you were talking about. But as you were going through, I just started to think, why is it that the right has got to always defend itself, yet the left can put up controversial views. Does the right ever put up anything that's controversial, socially controversial?
Because they don't fight dirty enough.
I'm just posing that question.
They don't fight dirty enough. The right just generally don't fight dirty, Don.
Why is it always that the... To me, I just try to open... I could be wrong. But my observation is the right seems to be defending, whereas the left seems to be attacking. Is that general, or does the right ever attack the left?
Very rarely, Don, because they don't fight dirty. And
Johnny, not dirty. There are issues. I just came to that realisation discussion last night. Eh?
Why do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just posing. What? It's an observation.
Well, I gave you an
answer. Am I correct in the observation?
Yes, and I gave you an answer. Why? As someone on the left said, never let a crisis go to waste. If there's a crisis looming, make sure you capitalise on it by going in hard.
Oh, because the right has been more dominant up until now. Okay, and so in life, in
really?
Culture. Yeah, of
course. So what are you saying? We are...
The establishment has been more...
Really?
In, of course it has.
Not in America, it hasn't.
Oh, well,
yeah, John Kennedy, a Democrat.
Mate, Bill Clinton? That there are wheels within wheels and that the establishment has been in power forever, right? And the reason why the left, to answer your question, Don, my opinion is that the left needs to make a hell of a lot of noise to claw back. Whereas the right just wants to shut up because they're doing quite well. No?
He's not thinking. He's on another take. You don't contribute unless something interests you.
No, Don, I'm trying to go through the respective state and federal governments that have either been right-wing or left-wing here. And I think you'll find it's pretty even, won't you?
We're talking about in real terms, though, in terms of managing the real power. Okay, you know that the establishment has been. Trust me. I mean,
go on. Give us an example.
But then there's a difference between left and right. I mean, you're not suggesting that John Kennedy wasn't really left. He was a moderate.
Bring it back to Australian politics.
You can say that about Donald Trump. He's not really a Republican.
Okay. Well, you're the one that's making the point. You're the one that's trying to say that this is defined by who is in power. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about society.
It's defined by the social elites.
They're not really left.
The social elites. Hmm. What you're saying? The social media people like Google and Facebook.
They're not left.
Please. Now you're getting into an area. If you don't think they're left, they swept Dopey Joe into.
That's not left. That's just somewhere else. That's political, but it's not left. They're social elites, mate. If they were left, they'd be giving the money out to everybody. I mean...
They've given the money out to the people that do them curry favour with them. Mate, they're the social elites. They politicise everything for their own good, for their own benefit. What are you talking about?
Just as right-wing as everybody else.
Who is?
People who do that keep it for themselves. I mean, if you're that's
the right,
capitalism.
You're saying the people who run Google and Facebook are
they're just selfish. They've just got themselves. The reason why they swung at the end is they read the play, and they read the play that Trump was onto them. If they thought Trump was going to win that election, they would have stuck with him. They were worried. They're more worried about the fact that if Biden got in, that he's going to challenge their monopolies and break up their businesses. So they thought, shit, we better support them at the last minute. That doesn't make them left. That just makes them selfish.
Now, mate, that is absolute rubbish. Now I appreciate you actually doing this for the sake of having a conversation. That is absolute nonsense. Trump was onto them for suppressing anything that he said because it wasn't doing them any good.
It was all very late in the day. They read the play and I thought, shit, they're going to get in and they're going to question our
monopoly. They made the play.
They're going to break us up. Now the Democrats owe them one.
They made the play by limiting any adverse comment about the fool that's in there at the minute, and they suppressed it. They cancelled Trump's Twitter account.
At the last minute.
They didn't do it early.
They only did it last week or two.
Please, this is like talking to the back of a handball court. mate, you have no idea what you're talking about. And I'll tell you what, I'll end up having to do. You'll have to end up having to do what I did this week for you, Don. You're going to have to ring me and say you better ring Rocket up and apologise to him for calling him a fuckwit. He's speaking absolute shit, and that is disappointing. And you're not speaking at all, which is fantastic, Don. Got any sport?
What do you think of the coroner when he hands the coroner is going to investigate the death of Shane Tuck. And obviously he may look at the rules with regard to football or how they can treat concussion and whatever else. Do you think this is going to have a flow-on effect to other sports as well?
Yeah. What contact sports?
Well, I'm just asking other sports. Billiards? Such as boxing?
Yeah, contact sports.
Well, boxing, what else is it? Horse riding, for example. We wear a crash helmet to protect our heads from concussion or head injuries.
Yes.
There would be motorbike racing. It just goes on and on and on. So do you think there would be ramifications from the coroner's inquest?
Yes.
You say I don't engage because I'm not interested. What are you asking me? Well, you think that the coroner's going to say, yes, contact sports can contribute to CTE.
I'm just wondering, he might just bring up, you know how things work, he may just bring up something with regard to the way that concussions handle.
Why didn't you criticise him for the one-word answer, yes? You went on and on.
The look he gave me was enough.
And you said, do you think that this would be the coroner going on about boxing and horse riding? And then you went on and on. Do you think that? And he said, yes. Why didn't you have a go at him? You shout at me when I do that as if I'm not paying attention. I'm looking into your back of your soul through your eyes, hoping something intelligent will come out. And nothing ever does, Don.
You finished?
Temporarily.
Oh, temporal. Well, I'm just posing a bloody question trying to stimulate discussion, which is very difficult.
Not at all.
It is, because
rhetorical questions which don't have an answer.
You can sit down and think, oh, yeah, maybe.
Well, maybe. Now, Don, now, Rocket, when you set up Fox Sports, I'm asking you this, Don.
We're talking sport.
I'm talking about the incidence of a concussion having a deleterious effect.
This is the first time it's been done.
I'm answering this question. We're talking about a commission setting up to examine, say, Michael Tuck's son, Shane. Is unfortunate death, and Graham Farmer. And Danny Frawley, the incidence of CTE on contact sport, and why has it just come to the forefront? In our day, we never heard of it, and you might say, yeah, well, it's obvious that we've had it over the years because we're pretty stupid, but why has it suddenly become more, Rocket, why has it suddenly become more focused and prevalent?
It's the same. It's just medical advancements have now meant that we've been able to diagnose it.
And I think it's like a lot of, it's a very relevant point. What he is saying, I think it's issues in society or news. It's funny how things were issues and then something else replaces them. If you go back to, and whether, I don't know, no, I could be corrected, but have they got a cure for AIDS?
They are able to manage it.
You're able to manage it. But do you remember when AIDS first came out, there was hell to play. Now, that over the years has morphed into, well, nothing, but it's still out there and you say you learn how to manage it. It's topical and it'll stay topical for maybe a number of years or it could be 6 months and something else will come along and replace it. I think that's an explanation.
No, I think this has been going on for a while. You know, you look at what's happened with the NFL. Okay, that's been going on for decades now, that whole thing that started.
NFL.
Yeah, and then what's happened is then it's slowly making its way through to the other contact sports. The issue here is not necessarily, to go back to like your point before about we took the piss out of you with horse riding and whatnot.
Yeah, we did.
That difference is, the difference there is this is about repeated head knocks, not one-offs. I think in horse riding, you're more likely to get a one-off. You get a bad one, which I need to ask you about. Did you get kicked by a horse in the hip?
Yep.
What was the circumstance? I heard about this the other day. You walked around the back of a horse and it kicked you.
No, I didn't walk to the back of him. I gave him a touch-up.
Excuse me?
What's that, Don?
I gave him a touch-up.
No, meaning? He kicked you.
Yeah, exactly right. He couldn't get out.
Where did you touch him?
I gave him a touch-up. He wouldn't do. He was playing around in a confined area and he was cornered. And he said, well, horses are an interesting animal. One foot, when they kick you, is a warning. When they do two, it's called double barreling you, they mean business. I got double barreled.
Jesus.
And he wasn't mucking around. It was like a cartoon. And he planted me against the shed wall and I just sunk like a dying flower to the floor and finished up in hospital.
So could I just clarify this, Don, please?
Mm.
So you decided you'd, in your terms, touch up a 2,000-pound animal.
Mm. And he raised his digit finger when he said it.
What?
He raised his digit finger when he said it.
Yeah, in quotes, you mean? Oh, no.
So I touched him up.
No, I don't know what touch-up means, but I'm
what
sure...
What does touch-up mean?
You give it a bit of a slap on the rump or... What do you mean by touch-up, Don? Not what I think it means.
Mm. Anyway, keep going. So
I want to know what you did to provoke the horse.
Yeah.
Well, I upset him.
Well, you didn't hit him on the stalk or anything, did you?
No.
What did you do?
I upset him. And he got to such a point.
Why did you upset him?
Because
people or horses or animals.
You even have an altercation with all the horses.
Beg your pardon?
You've got no skills at all with anything that's got heart and lungs.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong. I've come to that conclusion.
Well, Rocket came to it during the week.
Okay, God, will you move on, idiot? What are we talking about? I brought up something about left and the right. Yeah, concussion.
Don, in our era, I know it's a long time ago. Rocket, listen, look, don't roll your eyes back into the back of your dumb ass head. Listen to me. In our era, Don, we got plenty of knocks.
You were the instigator.
Yeah, and you went home and you carried on like dingbats and probably, had all sorts of other issues, which we just put down to being, he's a bit of a crazy, right?
No,
that might have been because that people were suffering from CT and didn't realise it.
They were, let me tell you, they were.
Correct, all that. So
we've become more sophisticated with medical science and we started going, hey, maybe that guy wasn't a dingbat at all. Maybe he was suffering from some sort of internal drama.
Well, we don't know, Vinny.
To answer the question, that's why you didn't know back then. You just thought they were all, nutbags or alcoholism.
They were vehement agreement with you, Rod.
So what's the problem?
Who was a nutbag than when we played?
I don't know. I'm just saying people had issues going home. No, in private.
I do not know one.
You probably did. You just weren't aware of it.
I'm sorry.
What happened behind closed doors in people's lives wasn't known. It was because back then too, there was a stigma with mental health. There was a stigma with domestic violence. There was a stigma with all sorts of things.
The boys talk.
No, Rocket, that's a really fair point, what Rocket says.
We're now more aware of it because you might think this man's off
the rails. He's as silly as a wheel, but he might have been silly as a wheel because he had consistent knocks from playing the sport and we just assumed he was a dill. like we've assumed you're a dill, Don. Don, what did you do to the horse for it to...
Oh, geez, you're like...
Yeah, I'm interested to know. People would be interested to know this great horseman...
You're something you never let go,
this great horseman
anyway,
like you.
What happened to you, though, when you went flying against the... back
I finished
of the
up
shed?
In hospital. I fractured my hip.
When?
Years ago.
Did the horse apologise?
Did you put it down?
No.
What happened to the horse?
Nothing.
Did anyone sort out the horse?
No.
Now, Don, this is sport. We'll finish on this, maybe. I don't know if this is true, but I'm going to ask the person involved, and that's you. Mm. Don't kick my drawers, please. Keep your feet away from the furniture.
I'm waiting. This question's
been to ask you this
question. Has I don't just know. Been hanging someone around.
Someone was down at a golf tournament a week before last.
Oh, well and done.
Someone was down at a golf tournament the week before last, and apparently a very close relation of yours was playing in the club championships. It turned out to be your son.
Mm.
And as he stood over a putt, about to try and get the ball into the hole with the flag in it, because you're not allowed to take the flag out because of COVID, someone shouted from the bleachers, "Hey!" Doug, I think it was.
No. I think he had made the putt and had gone past the hole. He missed.
No, so he hadn't made the putt.
He'd apparently, from what he tells me, he was pretty savage on himself because it was a club championship.
Yes.
He should have put it in.
Mm-hmm. And he missed
it. And he bogeyed the hole he should have par. So take it up from there. He's then walking to the hole after he's missed the putt.
So a very close relation of yours, your son.
Son.
Had a putt at the hole and he missed it.
In the club championship.
Yes, and he missed the putt. And he went to play the putt, return putt, and someone yelled out at him, "You," and he said, distracting him, absolutely.
No, hang on. I didn't say.
Oh, your son did.
Well, anyway, keep going.
Your son took exception at the person shouting out while he was trying to get the return putt.
Well, the men that it was, there were three others in the club championship, and they said, "I think you should take exception to that. That's not warranted, what was said." Now, I don't know golf etiquette. I don't know, something about you should have made that putt or something.
Yeah, bad luck, you missed it.
Well, from another tee.
Yes, from afar.
Yes.
How did that have any influence on whether he made the return putt or not? Was he...
Well, you're a golfer, tell me.
Well, if he was walking over to the putt to assess the putt coming back, and someone said, "Bad luck," that would have nothing to do with it if you were standing over it, actually about to make the stroke.
Right, okay.
So what was the actual, why was there a consternation about that?
I don't know. I'm just, your informant has told you, so I'm trying to answer.
A different story.
You tell me, keep going.
It's a different story. He said he didn't put him off at all. He just made a light-hearted, with tongue-in-cheek comment about him missing the putt because he knows him, and it was just a frivolous aside.
I see. And the fellows that he was playing with in the championship,
yes,
said
that was a bit unwarranted.
Well,
because they obviously didn't know that this was a friend of his,
I don't know. But keep going.
Be like me if you fell off your horse at a rodeo or whatever those things you go to.
Equestrian. They call show jumping.
Yeah, show jumping. If you fell off it, I'd say, "Oh, bad luck, me old mate." And
well, you
said,
did.
What?
You did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
When you did come to one.
That's right.
Did you fall?
No. Idiot here. There's protocol. And there's only the rail picker's upper in the middle of the show jumping course because you don't want the horse to be distracted. And I get out there to commence my round. An idiot is out the front in there taking a shot with his camera.
Videoing it. Why was I there?
There was a crowd. Why did you move from the hill where everybody was sitting? It was a well-patronised event.
Very well.
And I was just about to do it, and you psych yourself up. An idiot is in the middle. How did you get out there?
I tell you, I asked one of the officials, I said, "Don has asked me, could I video him with him and his horse going over one of the jumps?" And they said, "Yes, come out here, you'll get a better view." And I put the thing on video and off it. And out he comes, a pub with a little red hat on and a tunic and sitting up there like he's got a bat up his ass, bouncing up and down on the horse, and the horse is going, and Don's going, and gave it a little whip on the slats, and over it went and knocked the top rail off, and he went, "Fuck that!" And I had this all immortalised on celluloid, and you wanted me to film you. You wanted me to get your action so you could research how you were sitting on the horse.
You're Protestant, aren't you?
What? Are you allowed to use a whip?
What?
Are you allowed to use a whip?
Oh, whip, he's got a bamboo cane with spikes on the end of it. Smashed the living shit out of that horse, Don. No wonder it kicked you.
Who was the person that yelled out to Doug?
Yeah.
I don't know. You tell me.
Oh, Don.
You're telling the story.
Well, a very close friend of yours, he used to be on the podcast with us. And you probably...
I haven't got any friends.
That's true. That's quite...
So
an acquaintance of yours.
None of us have.
Well, keep going.
Acquaintance of yours. Mick Sheehan. It was Magic Mike.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was Magic Mike, who knows your son, Doug, and speaks fondly of him, said, bad luck, me old mate. All the people playing with him took exception, and Doug, I don't think, said it put him off, did he? Or he was just
You're telling the story.
No, did Doug go through to the semis?
No, he won the qualifier.
So he's still in it.
Yeah, well, I think one.
And Mick's still in.
Mick's still in.
Mick's in. What grade's he in? He's off in 25. Isn't he handicapped? He's off D grade.
Special grade.
He's in the Special Olympics. He's in the special grade, and he's still going through. He's still pushing on. Have you ever seen Mick play golf?
No.
He's a left-hander, got a rhythmic and.
Not there's anything wrong with that.
A rhythmic and loquacious. A loquacious swing he's got.
What does that mean?
Not sure, but he doesn't hit it. He doesn't hit it far. He's very stylish, and not a long hitter by any chance.
Well, someone not said, hitting it far.
Someone said to him, "You're standing too close to the ball." And Mick said, "When?" He said, "After you've hit it." So he doesn't hit it a long way. He doesn't hit it a long way. But he hasn't got
the bigger question here is you're talking with Mick, are you?
I've always been talking to Mick.
Oh, have you? You talk to everyone. You're such a...
Well, what? I'm generally a peacemaker. I bought the Rocket and Mick back together again. I bought you and the Rocket back together again. I just want to know when
Steve
I...
Steve Price and Eddie Maguire?
Yeah, I just want to know when I get off favour with anyone, will either of you come to my rescue and say, look, we're just trying to get hold of you?
It'd be a mammoth job.
So there we are. So that's about it. So Mick,
was that sport or is that?
You know, Mick, that's sport. Mick is. I'll tell you, Mick is.
Our problem is when you over falling out with people. QCs get involved.
Mick had a. I would do this again. I've been roped into the most disgraceful part of legal proceedings by saying nothing on a podcast here that got us fined $100,000. Now, Don. And Mick, I'll just tell you about this about Mick Sheehan when he plays golf. He's not a lucky golfer. He lost, when I played with him, he lost two balls in the ball washer. And that's just before we even hit off. And he, and I'll use this very old joke, he only hit two good balls for the afternoon in one of the rounds he played. Do you know why? Because he stood on a rake in the sand trap.
I was going to say something else.
It's a very old line that. Yeah, and of course, he did have a hole in one. And he got a nasty tear in the other just during one of the rounds we played. So there are all my old golf jokes. Yeah. Is that it?
We'll regroup for next week.
Give us one more thing on sport, Don. That's who do you it, think?
Mate. Go on. What? Who do I think what?
Well, Cameron Smith.
This is a saga, isn't it? It's a little bit like Dame Nellie Melba.
Yeah. Will he what?
Will he play?
Well, he's playing tomorrow, isn't he?
Surely he's been delisted by the Storm. This is what I don't understand.
So has he been selected?
I don't understand how it works. So yesterday's paper, they were still speculating whether he's going to play or not. And I'm like, well, who does he play for? Surely the Storm have delisted him.
Well, we tried to get Matt Johns on the line, but he didn't ring back, did he? What's wrong?
What about our other friend?
I couldn't have fallen out with him because he's a very good man.
What about our other friend? Why didn't you try our other
Fatty?
Friend? Yeah.
Well, we could, but we thought we'd get Matthew on just because it'd be a different voice. Fatty would be our go-to correspondent for the NRL. He's a very good man. Fatty.
Well, if there's a third segment up, that means we got onto him.
What?
If there's a third segment, it means we got onto him. If there's not, we didn't.
Well, we haven't. But I tell you who just tweeted, Brian Mannix. What did he say? I knew two blonde... Oh, this is a joke, so I don't think...
No, don't.
Censor it, but just read it first.
Righto. Bye-bye. Wrap it up.
See ya. I'm open around the streets late at night.